Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 19 says, "Therefore prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your presence, the Holy Spirit moving amongst us today, Lord, during worship. And I ask, Lord, that you would illuminate to the hearts and minds your word, and that it would produce fruit for your kingdom, Lord, that those listening online would be pierced to the heart. Anoint my lips to speak, that you would be glorified and lifted up on high, and the power of your word and the power of your might would be exposed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this message is Brace Yourself. And that in that scripture, "Therefore prepare yourself," there's another translation of, it's the God's Word translation, it says, "Brace yourself." Brace yourself, because the pace and the race to the end is quickening. Everything has accelerated as the Bible said would happen in the last days. But the reality is, interest in that trend is at an all-time low. We've talked about that, didn't we? And many weary remnant watchmen are left alone, feeling isolated. And many are just waiting for normal to return and for life to carry on. In addition to isolation, many voices are being silenced because the spirit of Antichrist is running rampant on this earth. Society is being prepped for the Antichrist, and as a remnant of believers, we try to warn others. And the words are falling on a lot of deaf ears. They have eyes to see, and they see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not. Ezekiel 33 tells us that if we don't warn, the blood is on our hands. So you cannot be silent. Even when the world wants to silence you, you cannot. You should not be silent. But I would say, brace yourself to be shocked by the things that you are going to read and watch and see. Because Satan is getting more active. He is cunning. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And wickedness is rising. So God's people must shine ever so more brightly today. Do not embrace the darkness. And I believe God is shaking things for that reason. The shaking is going to cause disruption in this earth like an earthquake would naturally. And many will be tempted to give in to the chaos and to the fear and to the uncertainty that the shaking will bring to those that are not hearing from heaven, to those who are not trusting in the Lord. But the remnant of believers have no reason to be afraid. None. The shaking is coming to get rid of anything that is not of God. So do not be afraid. The shaking will shake everything that can be shaken. Get ready, because it's going to intensify swiftly, folks. See that you do not refuse. That's Hebrews 12. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." Now this, "yet once more," indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we, child of God, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, God's empowering presence, for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own during this time, which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire, and he is going to consume this earth with fire. This past week was a meeting of all the great think tanks of this world, the UN, and they desired to come up with a plan for peace and security. And that's really what man desires. Man desires security. Man has tried to gain that from age to age, from cradle to grave security. That's what man seeks. And the reality is, it's an impossibility. It's impossible apart from God. And because of that, God is dedicated to this one proposition where man's security is concerned. You can't have it apart from him. You aren't going to get it. It's not going to happen. Man tries to create it. God denies it. Because all our idols, all the towers of Babel must come down. They are doomed. And the world is in a season of shaking with such unprecedented change that's coming. And it can make you feel dazed at times. I understand that. And it makes you feel like you're on unequal ground, like Psalm 46, where the earth is shaking, the mountains melt like wax, and the sea is raging. But God is still in control. The earth gives way, but God is in control. So let the earth shake. Let the stars fall. Let the mountains crumble. We are not afraid. And I understand, I'm acquainted with it. I know when shaking can leave you stunned and distressed. When life changes in ways that you never could have imagined. On an individual level, when you get a bad report, a health report. When your employer turns things against you. When your income is cut, or when you let go from your job. When parents are difficult against you in administration. When your children go wayward. But on a larger level, when governments fall in a matter of weeks. When uprisings against officials, when prime ministers resign with no answers. When earthquakes and powerful storms claim the lives of thousands of people. And their eternal destination is sealed. Economically, I read an article by Hannah Levitt in the Bloomberg News this past week where longtime J.P. Morgan boss Jamie Dimon continues to warn of the significant headwinds that the U.S. and the world economy is facing, including the ongoing war in Ukraine and the other geopolitical tensions. They are so tightly wound where it's just going to snap. And my friend, Carlos, you've met him, the colonel, he affirmed that. He said, I get it. I understand it. Geopolitically, things are wound tight. In his annual letter to shareholders earlier this year, Jamie Dimon called the landscape unsettling. This is one of the leaders in the world, one of the largest corporations, one of the largest banks in the world. And he said, we have a very strong economy. That should give you peace, right? But don't confuse today with tomorrow, is what his words say. This other stuff is kind of tomorrow, and if and when it affects the current economy, we'll see. As he touched on everything from China and the industrial policy to financial regulations and artificial intelligence. The Biden administration officials are now saying all the right stuff on China, Dimon said. We're going to do what we've got to do for national security and unfair competition. And he reiterated how AI was going to be critical to J.P. Morgan's future success. And if he leads the way in that, how many other banks will follow? His words are, AI is the next new thing, Dimon said, and the technology will be deployed in every single part of the company. So I've told you these things. I've told you the technology and those things that are coming. And with the perfect storm of a global economy and financial liquidity crisis, we know eventually that central bank digital currencies are going to be introduced, catalyst. Okay? It's going to happen. And along with that will be digital identities. And we're seeing those things roll out slowly here on this earth. We're seeing the foundations of a beast system, a mechanism for control. Now you can say all the positive things of how this is going to be good, right? Everything has a positive spin without the underlying trap that lays behind it. Do you understand? It can sound good. The fruit looked good. You understand? The fruit looked good to Eve. But she was told not to touch it. Don't even think about touching it. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Because all things are going to give way to the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. You understand? So we need to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church, because our God is the consuming fire, right? He's going to shake everything. Parallels and symbolic equivalents to the shaking are found in Scripture, where you see the idea represented by wind removing chaff from the wheat in Matthew 3. And Malachi, the fire removing dross from the silver. In Matthew 3:12 says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. That's us. We're the wheat. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is tea for my throat. Just you don't think I'm having like a latte up here enjoying things. Daniel saw the nations, in Daniel 2, he saw the nations become like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found in them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. And he's talking about his eternal kingdom that's coming. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Just like Jesus looked to the joy that was set before him, right? That was beyond that suffering. Yeah, there's going to be some suffering between now and then, but there's a kingdom coming that is going to be eternal. Do you understand? But as the Lord shakes things from a spiritual perspective, he's shaking us, trying to wake us up. Wake up from the spiritual slumber. He warned the disciples in the garden, wait, be watchful. Watch and pray. Peter talks about hastening the day. Hastening the day in 2 Peter 3. Pray. Don't let the distractions in the world and the comforts of it cause you to fall into a deep sleep. He's trying to get you to let go of anything and everything that we are holding. Every form of ideology, every philosophy that you believe in, every religious belief, that denies the power thereof. Political beliefs, your material possessions, whatever you're holding on to that you think is going to give you hope and peace and security other than Jesus, he's saying let go of it. Let go of it. And he wants you to do that because he wants you to realize that there is no one else who can satisfy that answer. Who can give you true peace and security other than Jesus Christ. No other water will quench your spiritual thirst than his eternal living water. And his well does not run dry, folks. You drink from that well, as he told the Samaritan woman, you'll be thirsty again. But the water I give, you will never thirst. Draw near to him because he has a mission. Without him, we can't do anything. But he has a mission for you, the bride, and I, the bride. Go forth, share the gospel, make disciples in all the nations, serving him, seeing him, bearing fruit for his kingdom as you share the truth. And the truth is things don't always stay the same. There's no guarantee in this life other than the guarantee that if you have faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you breathe your last breath, you have eternal security in him forevermore. Whether it's your daily routines of life, your jobs, your career path, your incomes, your health, your relationships, your life goals, your plans for the future, you can have all those things. I'm not saying those are bad things. But what I'm saying is they can change on a dime. And if your faith and trust is solely in those things, you will find yourself shipwrecked. And that can happen very easily and very quickly in the season in which we live in. Do you understand? Some people call them black swan events. Could be the day of the Lord. So don't be attached to those things. I'm just in the introduction here, folks, so it is going to be a little bit of a longer message, so buckle up. Brace yourself. Examine your heart and your life. Understand that in the midst of shaking and in the midst of pain and suffering, and I know when you can say, hey, that's really tough right now, Lord. I'm having a really hard time. But he sends to you, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? My grace is sufficient for whatever you are going to face in the days, months, years ahead, should the Lord tarry. So when security is compromised, when persecution comes, when the enemy tries to drag you off path, where will you find your hope and peace? Hopefully it is in Jesus Christ, the rock and the fortress. Psalm 62 says that, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Your inner man doesn't shake because it's in tune with what the Holy Spirit's saying. But God is looking to use you and I, a remnant. He's looking to pour out his Spirit and we can be used mightily for his glory. From the prophetic word you heard, Isaiah 60 verse 1 2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Did you hear what was said? The darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Why? Because you have a song to sing. You heard that last word. A song of hope. When the streets have no hope and they're singing of no hope, they've lost it all. When the tambourine is quiet, when the wine has dried up, you have a song of hope. This is that which the prophets have spoken of. In the last days, he will pour out his Spirit on flesh. He's looking for vessels. Vessels fit for the master's use to be used for his glory. Even as persecution increases, even as cancel culture runs rampant to seek silence and to censor you, millions of souls are still hanging in the balance. And it's our job to share the truth. You've been set free. It's your job to share the truth. As the storm swirls around you and people ask you for the hope that is inside you, give them a reason. Be ready as the Spirit leads you. Wake up! Wake up to the tuning of the Spirit. Put aside the milk. Realize what the Lord is trying to do mightily in a small body. In a small body that yields and surrenders to the will of the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore the prompting. This can't be God. I don't have time for this. I'm not equipped for this. Wrong. That's a lie. I'm pretty sure if the Spirit, same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave is inside you, I'm pretty sure you're equipped. Pretty sure. Like 100+% sure. Which takes us to our passage in Jeremiah, verse 1. And I think you'll be amazed at the parallels for us today. You need to understand that Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And he had a prophetic word. He had, listen closely. He was given a prophetic word as a nation was unraveling. As a nation was deteriorating rapidly. He witnessed it. He spoke to it. And the reality is, they didn't accept his message even though he warned. Eventually, that nation, Israel and Judah, conquered by the Babylonians. Thinking parallels to a coming mystery of Babylon. You understand? But it takes us right here to this prophet who's kind of reluctant, like standoffish, like, is this what? Wait, am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And it says here in Jeremiah verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah has a 40-year ministry, folks, and he has a display of faithfulness. faithfulness and courage in the face of great discouragement. Like no one coming to salvation, no one hearing his message, but he was faithful in doing it and delivering it in great opposition with minuscule results. And you'll get to talk to him about that someday. But Anathoth was a town about 3 miles from Jerusalem, a small village. And remember, as he was from a Levite family, Jeremiah, a priestly family, and the Levites weren't actually given, had to be given land. They weren't given actually a location. They had to be given the land within each of the tribes and their areas. This is just to give you a little bit of history. But it says, to whom the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the 5th month. So to whom the Lord, this is what it says here, to whom the Lord came. The Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord, divinely inspired, the infallible word of God. And God was searching and looking for a man, and he knew who the man was. He wanted a man with a tender heart, understanding this unrewarding ministry of condemnation and warning. And Jeremiah is the vessel that God chooses for that, for such a time as he experienced, for such a time as this. And it says in the days of Josiah, actually King Josiah was a godly king. He was one of the better kings of Judah. He was zealous for reform. You'll find that in 2 Chronicles 34. It was in the 8th year of Josiah's reign that he sought the Lord, and a few years later began a campaign, an aggressive campaign to purify Israel of idolatry and to repent, to return back to the Lord. But then it says there's Josiah and Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, the succession of kings. There's actually a couple other kings in here that weren't mentioned, which is Jehoiaz and Jehoiakim, which each of those had about 3 month reigns. So they're kind of like insignificant. So maybe that's why they were skipped out. But it says in verse 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. Jeremiah had a personal encounter with the Lord. With Almighty God and His Word. And I think all of us have had some of those encounters. And we start wrestling with things. And we're going to see that here. But he says here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was already a young man, folks. But God, and he's speaking to us the same way. God wanted him to know that his call went back even before his youth. Even before it. Jeremiah existed in the mind and the plan of God before he existed in his mother's womb. Do you understand the foreknowledge of God? What a mighty God we serve. And God tells Jeremiah this so that he can walk in this preordained plan by his own will, his free will. Jeremiah will choose to do this. You understand? Free will. And he says, see, I've ordained you. I've consecrated you. I've set you apart for this mission. Does that resonate with you? You've been set apart. You're a holy people for this time. And it's awesome to know that he sees us before we're even born. It's just a mighty God, the great God that we serve. And God knew this message was going to be tough. And God is instilling confidence in telling him this information ahead of time. Before I knew, before you were in the womb, I knew. I've called you for this. And he could be encouraged by that to align his will with God's revealed will. God reveals his will, and we don't see a Jonah experience here, you know, but we do see a little bit of a warring. Paul talks about his own call too in Galatians 1. But it says here, it doesn't say, I've called you or ordained you to be a prophet to Israel. What does it say? It says, a prophet to the nations. To the nations. Yes, Jeremiah's main focus was upon Judah in the last decades before the Babylonians conquered it. But his work as a prophet was not only for Judah, it was not only for Israel, but it's for the nations. His words are shared for the nations, both then and applicable to today. Prophecy has a then experience, like right then, and then a future. Do you understand where it can be applied? And here's it. He says, I've set you apart as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's response, Lord God. I'm puzzled. I'm 17 years old. That's how old he is here. He's 17, maybe 20. He says, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Here we go. Here comes the excuses. I'm a youth. I'm young. So I don't have an authoritative message that people are going to buy into. I'm just a young kid. Jack was up here reading the word of God, proclaiming it. How old are you, son? How old are you, Jack? 10. Jeremiah is stating his inadequacies. You understand? He's feeling inadequate. Jeremiah is processing the word of the Lord that comes to him. Guess what? Through his own strength. How much are we? Am I speaking to you? Yeah, you guys are gonna feel a little ouchies. That's how I felt too. I mean, we are guilty of that. Are we not? God calls us, yet we place our limitations on top of God's calling. And he spoke it into existence, folks. He spoke this earth into existence. Limitations? Kidding me? Think about Job, right? Where were you? Where were you when I did this? So God just goes right away, front street. Jeremiah says, I'm a youth. And he says, don't say it. Do not say I am a youth. Though Jeremiah's protest was true, right? I'm a young guy. Right? It's irrelevant. God did not want to hear it. Nor did he want Jeremiah to say it. Don't say the lie. God is telling Jeremiah, it's not about you, Jeremiah. This is not about you. It's about me. It's about me, the Lord, your God. It's about my strength. You are limited. I am unlimited in my power. You are weak. I am strong. Okay? Just be faithful, Jeremiah. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'll equip you. Be faithful like others, like young David taking on Goliath, right? There was a young boy. Or how about those I'm going to call in the future? John the Baptist, who I'm going to equip with the power of the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Or Saul, who was the murderer. I'm going to use him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Or young Timothy. Don't tell me you're young. I don't want to hear it. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. God spoke with encouragement and persuasion. He just says, don't want to hear about your youth. Go. You shall go. Go. Like, remember, like Moses, move forward, go. You get a little protest in, go. Don't want to hear it, go. How, you know, when you get stubborn and you're like, this isn't fair, Lord, and he's like, keep moving. Go. I've called you. And he says here, he encourages them, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. He's afraid for two reasons. He's young. And guess what? The message he's about to deliver, he knows is going to be hard to hear. But the presence of God was with him, and they were greater than those two reasons. Anything he can come up with, guess what? It's greater. He's greater. He's a great God. He's the greatest God. Okay? So Jeremiah needed to know, we walk by faith and not by sight. From the appearance of things, fear should be present. It should paralyze him in fear like it does us. Fear paralyzes us, right? Yet God is saying, walk by faith. Keep your eyes focused on me. Keep your eyes focused on me. I am with you. I'm not only going to use you as my ambassador, but I am going to be with you, Jeremiah. What a comfort. Jesus said, I am with you to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be dismayed. And he has another encounter with the Lord here. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. 17-year-old, mouth touched. In his vision, Jeremiah sees the Lord touch him in a personal way. Just like another prophet, Isaiah, where he, do you remember when he's into the throne of God and he sees the train, God's robe, his train, he's like, I'm undone. I have unclean lips. And the angel of the Lord comes and touches the mouth of Isaiah with the tongue. So Jeremiah's touched in a different way, but like he's touched by the Lord and an anointing upon him. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I've set you is like this, like I've deputized you for this plan. I've set you up. I've set you. You're going to carry out my business. Oh, you know, like an ambassador. Yeah. Okay, great. The first period of Jeremiah's ministry, we talked about, it happened under the protection of this godly King Josiah. And there's probably some confidence going, hey, things are, you know, people are returning back to the Lord. Maybe it's not all doom and gloom, you know. They reformed the nation, turned it back to the Lord. It probably was exciting. But what happens is, even in the midst of change, complacency settles in. And the task that Josiah even set out to do, it was never fully finished as the Lord called him at a younger age. He died in like his 40s. But during this time, Jeremiah went on preaching through the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. And during the time, the hearts of the people don't change. He preached for 23 years and no one seems to listen. He faced threats against his life. I mean, after King Josiah, it just gets worse. No one listens, even the leadership. He was to warn, and they don't listen. And eventually, the warnings stop, and no longer is that his message. He just says, hey, guess what? You're beyond the point of no return. The most difficult season was under the last king, Zedekiah, who was set on the throne by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah brought a message from God that was like, it just seemed like madness to this generation. Like, you are going to be ravaged. Judgment's coming. It's inevitable. And you have to prepare for it. And guess what? You're going to have to submit to it. And they're like, who's this guy? Put him in the stocks. Get him out of here. Arrest him. That message of warning. And it's like, hey, guess what? Wrath and judgment is coming. There's no stopping it. You better repent. Is that not a message that we should have today of urgency? Yes. You guys are getting this so far? This is good, isn't it? Yeah, I really enjoyed putting this together. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, so here he comes. This is like, this is his first training lesson as the prophet, right? And he goes, Jeremiah, what do you see? Before he can speak, he has to see. Eyes to see. We walk by faith. Faith eyes, right? Do you remember when Elisha prayed for his little assistant would have his eyes opened, and then he saw with spiritual eyes? That's what's happening here. Jeremiah needs to see with spiritual eyes first. And in the vision, he says, a branch of an almond tree. He saw the branch. He was observant, and he also knew what? It was an almond tree. Well, that's what's so significant about an almond tree, Pastor. The significance of the branch of the almond tree was important for two reasons. First, the almond tree was well known as the first tree to bud in the spring in Israel. Actually, it was late January in Israel. And this indicated that God was ready to quickly fulfill his word, just as the almond tree stems ready to bud at the beginning of the year. Do you understand? Secondly, the Hebrew word for almond tree is very close, and the root word of it is the Hebrew word for being watchful. The almond root word to be awake, because it blossoms in late January, it was an awakened tree. It was awake to what was going on. That's Jeremiah. He's awake. And watch related, watchfully, the activity, this watchful activity that is saying what is soon to take place, what I'm soon to bring fruition, it's going to happen. Just as the prophecies say it will. How many of the remnant are wide awake to the season and watching as what is soon to take place? He's coming soon. Be awake. How awesome is an almond tree now to you? All right. And then a word of the Lord comes to me a second time. What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot and is facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against its walls all around, against the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. So Jeremiah sees a boiling pot facing away from the south. The idea is like a boiling cauldron, right? That's going to tip over, and it's facing to the south where Judah is. And think of like a boiling pot. Think of, I don't know, like a cup of wrath boiling up over to indignation, right? That's about to tip and scorch anything in its path. Do you know what I'm talking about? The day of the Lord, the cup of indignation fills up to the brim, and it's ready to be unleashed. This is a vivid picture of destruction and judgment that's going to be poured out on Judah from the north, because out of the north, the calamity breaks forth. And Jeremiah is seeing this. And remember, his time started under a godly king, where some reformation and turning back to God existed. I don't know. Think about the last 10 years. Think about the church. Think about Christianity in our country, right? Maybe during the reign of a conservative president, we thought, hey, man, we're getting our country back, right? We're getting back on morals. We're doing the right things. We're supporting Israel. We're doing some of the things that we need to be doing, which God says, I'll bless those who bless those and curse those who curse thee. But it doesn't take long to see an uptick, right? It doesn't take long to see an uptick in the decay of the moral environment. How quickly things have fallen. How quickly things have decayed. How quickly the enemy attacks and tears down the morals of society to usurp God and his plans. And it says, they shall come, and each set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. Jeremiah prophetically saw that foreign kings were going to dominate a subservient Jerusalem. The gates of the city were the ordinary places where justice was administered. And the enemies of Jerusalem are here representative of conquering the whole land, basically taking over the reins of government and laying hold of the country under their own laws. Do we not see that across the world today? So the Jews would no longer possess any power, any political power. Being quieted, they'd be wholly subjugated to their enemies. You understand? Do you see the parallel? Do we not see that happening today? Because why? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Because they have forsaken me. God says, you've forsaken me. Burned incense to other gods and worshiped the works of their hand. The main reason why judgment was coming was because of idolatry. And we are here today, folks. The world is looking to replace God. Do you understand? So he's revealed all of this to Jeremiah. It is calling. And you can read through all of Jeremiah, I think it's 46 chapters. But he says, hey, in all of this, because now you know what's going to happen, he says, therefore, prepare yourself. Brace yourself. Brace yourself. You've seen what I'm going to do. So brace yourself. In the King James, it says, gird up your loins. What does that mean? If you were here when we went through the armor of God, the belt of truth, they would tuck in their garments, their robes, into their belts. That's girding up your loins. Girding up your loins so you can maneuver and go into battle. And he's telling that to Jeremiah. I've revealed you what's happened. Brace yourself. Prepare yourself. Gird up your loins. Tuck in your loose ends, all those loose ends into your belt. And speak to them all that I command you. And listen, Jeremiah, do not be dismayed. Their faces, lest I dismay you before them. God is going to give Jeremiah the strength he needs, but he had to walk in it. Do you understand? He had to walk in it. If he did not, the warning is, if you're going to be dismayed, if you're going to be terrified, if you're going to be shattered and afraid before their faces, then I'm going to dismay you before them. But that's not going to happen because God called Jeremiah and he's with him. He's with him. For behold, right? Behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar. Man, I'm sure Jeremiah didn't feel like a fortified city. I'm going to do what? But God's word was true. And Jeremiah needed to believe it, and he had to act upon it. It's one thing in just believing, but there's another thing in acting. That's why you're not saved by works, but you do have fruit. Works of your salvation, of what God has done inside you, because you're acting upon it. You're aligning your will with his will. Do you understand? You talk about armor of God, fortified city. Just think about that picture, that word picture. And he tells them what's going to happen. They will fight against you. The promise of God proved true. They wag their fingers at Jeremiah like, who's this clown? Like, what kind of message are you bringing? What are you, a tinfoil hat guy? Yeah. So yeah, that part of the word of God came true, right? But it also the other aspect that they didn't prevail against him. His ministry carried on for 40 years. He wrote the book of Jeremiah. He wrote Lamentations. And everything he prophesied came to true. And he says, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. I love that picture again, a fortified city. I'm well equipping you, man. The man who thought he was ill-equipped. The one who thought he was inadequate. And the Lord says, no. You may be youth, but I'm making you a fortified city, an iron pillar, right? I think even part of that scripture says something about bronze, doesn't it? Bronze walls, right? Do you remember in Revelation 1, do you remember what Jesus' feet, what they were? They were like bronze, which is destruction. It's judgment. That's God's judgment. And that's what King Jesus is going to be doing. So I'm sharing this with you, folks. I'm sharing this calling of Jeremiah and the struggle that he had, right? Why? My question is, are you ready for the truth to come out? Are you the one standing there going, I'm too young? Or you know what? I'm not versed enough. This doesn't come natural to me. I'm saying, are you ready for the light to shine? Listen, there's nothing new under the sun, but what lies ahead may be new for us, just like it was for Jeremiah. So when you brace yourself, guess what? The test that's coming, the test might be here right now for you. And I'm telling you this, you are going to make it through the storm. You're going to make it through the storm, but you have to lean into somebody bigger than you and I. Proverbs, right? 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. You got to lean into God. You got to trust God. In the times that we live today, there's evil all around us. You can't lean into what you hear. You can't lean into your own understanding in these things. You have to trust in God and lean into his word. Lean into me, he's saying. I'm with you. I will wrap my arms around you. Think of Peter as he was sinking and he reaches and picks him up. I will wrap my arms around you. I will steady you. The water was getting insecure for him. I'm going to steady you. I'm going to put you on a firm foundation. I'm going to give you peace, even though people want to rob you of that. Remain in his presence. Abide in him. Abide in him. Because we are in, friends, we are in challenging times, and I'm telling you, they are going to get more intense. They're called perilous times, folks, for a reason. There's difficult days that are here for some of you right now that you are experiencing it. And I'm saying difficult days are ahead. You need courage for the days ahead. And it's not worldly courage. You need the power of the Holy Spirit inside you. This is that. Those events are coming that even Peter talked about, that day of the Lord, the prophecy in Joel, right? Where it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the courage you're going to have. Call on the Lord. Walk in the Spirit because things are quickly changing. The church age is coming to a close. God is shaking this world. But I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit gives you confidence. It gives you courage even in the face of opposition. Jeremiah was told not to be afraid. Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. The promised land is there. Go take it. Go. What did he tell Jeremiah? Go. Caleb said, let's go now. Right? So did Joshua. And the Spirit is saying to you, child of God, regardless of how it looks, be strong and be courageous. Because the leading of the Holy Spirit will lead you in truth and it will allow you to depend on the word of the Lord. The leading of the Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus Christ, which will keep your eyes on the author and the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. So keep your eyes focused on him. The Holy Spirit will also have you yield more and more fruit for his kingdom if you are abiding and surrendering to the will of the Holy Spirit. You've been warned numerous times from this pulpit the last couple of years to look at things with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes. You have been given the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. He's inside you. And he's going to lead you in all truth. The world walks blindly to destruction just as Judah did. They didn't want to hear it. Be a Jeremiah and share the truth. You might feel outnumbered. That's a lie too. God is with you. Amen. You learned about the Lord of the Breakthrough. David had to get ready, and then the angel armies came on top of the trees. Majority, okay? You have a majority. And he has given you access to this fortified city. He has given you access to this armor of God that covers you from the head to your feet. And guess what? There's nothing covering your backside because you're supposed to be moving forward. And the Lord is the one who covers you all around. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, in the power of your word. And the power of the words, brace yourself, Lord, as we prepare for what's coming ahead, that you have equipped us for this time, that we would proclaim your truth, and that this church, those who have heard, Lord, that they will receive this. Make changes that you have revealed in their hearts they need to make changes on, Lord, and that they would walk boldly and confidently in the power of your promises, your word, your truth, your armor, wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the living word of God, that hearts would be pierced and that the hearts would turn back to you, those who are wandering, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.